And good evening. Good evening, Pastor. It's so good to see you. Been looking forward all day to seeing you. Couldn't wait to get here just to see your face. I feel the same about you. Sure do. I'll tell you what. I know there's one face in here, and even though he's a man, I would love to kiss his face tonight, hug his neck, and shake his hand. And that's our dear brother, Brother Bergman, is back. And he's got a green sticker, which means I can do that. We haven't applauded in a long time. Welcome, Brother Bergman. Those that are online, you don't know what a blessing this is. And it's been a year serving our country outside the United States. And man, it's just good to have you home. And I felt the state just kind of shake as soon as you landed a little bit ago. And man, on Sunday, if you're here, we're sure going to be able to have everyone greet you. It's Wednesday. It's Bible study. It's time to just be refreshed and stop and pause and just remember that our God is alive. He's on the throne. He's all powerful. He loves us. We used to say, everything's okay in my Father's house. Everything's all right. We used to sing a song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hand. You remember that little song we used to sing? And so this is the time that we just get reminded of that. Those of you that are watching online, welcome. It's pouring down rain over here. I'm sure some of that was in our thought process tonight is moving around and the rains are coming in off the ocean. I trust that you're being careful. And you might have us on in the kitchen. You may be sitting on the couch or out on the back porch, driving in your car. I'm not sure where you're watching, but we're delighted that you're joined with us. Hope you're safe and asking God to do through the camera what He's going to do in our midst tonight. And so I'll tell you, the more that we go through these days, the more that the hymns are becoming precious to us. I'm getting texts now of people just being blessed by the hymns that we're singing, that they sing throughout their day. And I find that to be true on Bible study. So I chose a couple. I chose the first one just because I love it. I love the way that it begins. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. The second hymn I chose will help prepare our heart for the preaching of the Word of God. This one just helps me sing about my friend. His name is Jesus. He's your friend too. When He becomes your friend, you see in Him that He's fairer than 10,000 to our soul. In Him alone, I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. I love this hymn. Stand if you would. Let's sing. Let's get ourselves right before the Lord, ready for Bible study, and ready for God to do a work in our hearts.
I have found a friend in Jesus, He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow He's my comfort, in trouble He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows bore. In temptation He's my strong and my guitar. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now He keeps me by His bar. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With His manna He my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up the glory, I'll see His blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. Good evening. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us back in the house of God, Lord. Lord, thank you for watching over us and protecting us and bringing us here safely, Lord. Lord, Wednesday night is Bible study. It's the midweek of learning your word, Lord. It's the Wednesday night where we learn your Bible to get us through to the end of the week for Sunday, Lord. We come here when the doors are open because we need your word. We need to be touched. We need to be preached to, Lord. We need to feel secure in here, in you and only you, Lord. Father, I just ask you tonight that if someone here hasn't put their full trust in you, that they don't leave here tonight without reaching out to us and learning how they can accept you as your Savior in their heart, Lord. If someone's online and they haven't done that, have them reach out to us too, please, Lord. Father, I just ask you to be with Pastor tonight. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the book of Esther, and we were excited. We were waiting for this tonight, Lord. Lord, be with us now as we turn around and wave to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn around and wave to your neighbor.
And you can be seated just a moment. Thank you so much. Some announcements to make. Just want to extend my gratitude and thanksgiving to those that were able to be with us Sunday night at 5 o'clock for the memorial service for Brother Scott Patterson. Boy, we had a full crowd inside the auditorium, and then I know we had well over 100 devices that were hooked into our online that were watching all around the nation, around the world, and so on. And so what a joy, what a privilege it was to be able to celebrate his life and celebrate the salvation that God is to him. And the testimonies were great. And I know, I don't think Roxanne is here tonight, but she sent me some wonderful texts just saying how the family, and much of the family on her side for sure, does not know the Lord, and how many of the friends that were here got to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And so your presence was just a blessing and a help to that. And so thank you so very, very much. I want to just remind the men, and I hope those that are watching, and of course those that are in the room tonight, that we do have our Amen breakfast this Saturday at 9 o'clock. And I think it's important that we start getting back to some of the things that we used to do. I preached a message on Sunday that I did not want Satan to get an advantage of us in our lives. And I understand that we have to be very careful in our approach there. But I do think that ministries can begin to move forward with some understanding and some distancing and so on. And so, men, we need each other. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, and we need to be sharpened. So I would ask you to be there if you can. We'll do our best to try to be safe. And I just think there'll be a sweet spirit, be a time of prayer, some encouragement in God's word. And I would just invite you to that. Usually that lasts till about 10:15, 10:20. Ladies, I've always said it this way: we'll send them back to you better than you sent them to us. And so that's a motivation for you to send your man for the breakfast. We don't really have a sign-up sheet because I just don't think that would be as effective with everybody coming in and going out and so on. But know that you're invited, and I hope to see you there as well. Of course, we look forward to our services on Sunday. In our 10:30 service this Sunday, we will do a baby dedication for Nick and Lorena, little Levi. So they're doing their, and in the, I believe, according to what Brother Nick was telling me, that the Sunday after that, they begin to travel once again for missions work. And so be in prayer for them as they're raising money to go to Japan. We praise the Lord for the work that's going on here. As far as we know, all of the fire sprinkler work is now finished, and we're just waiting for a final inspection from the fire department to scratch that off and to move forward there. Of course, the rain was prohibited us from working today outside, but we're about ready to move around the back and begin to finish that for our parking lot. We are still trying to raise money. Since I made the announcement that we wanted to try to raise or needed to try to raise about $125,000, we've had about 13, I think, come in since then, so we're a long way from where we need to be. I gave the first Sunday of August as kind of when monies would need to be moving in, and so I know many of you are preparing for that. I brought half of mine last week, and I'll try to bring the other half here in the next week or two. But pray that God will continue to provide and meet our needs so that we can continue to move forward. Once we get the dirt work done, everything else begins to fall right into place. Speaking of falling into place, we have a lot of folks that have been calling in praises and prayer requests. No longer is our church free from the touch of COVID-19. By that I mean it's kind of around us at work, as far, not here, but our people, our church members that are working, it's in their jobs. Some of you have experienced that. Some of our church people are even dealing with that personally in their homes, as they've had to deal with that. Some are dealing with family members. Some are recovering. Some are dealing with loss of job because of that. Some are dealing with income. By the way, the benevolence fund during the COVID was just wonderful. And we've been able to disperse those monies. We have a little bit of monies left to try to help those that are finding themselves in difficult need right now. But thank you for your heart to give. Take out, if you would, just quickly, and I'll read these prayer requests and praises. Some of our folks tonight are really in desperate need of prayer. Lady named Francine Whitman. Francine is not here tonight, but she normally comes with Barbara Churchill. Francine is in need of prayer. She has a chronic heart condition and an acute condition, and so she was here Sunday, and she said, "Pastor, pray." And so we want to make sure to do that. Karen Fuller. Karen is usually right there. I don't see her tonight. She might be out with the children. She's asked us to pray for the Scarlett family, suffering from mental illness, different mental illnesses, asking for wisdom, strength, and encouragement. And that would be one request. And then Karen for herself is awaiting results from blood work that needs to be done and so, or has been done. So pray for Karen. Renee Coker. We know Renee. I asked prayer for Renee. God has touched her, sent me a text, I think, yesterday. Her son, Michael, has been diagnosed with COVID-19. Renee has not been in his presence for about 30 days, but her son has been diagnosed. She would like prayer. Kendrick Adderley, young man in our church, his dad and his mom are in the Bahamas, and both of them have contracted corona. Dad, I do believe, is on a ventilator. Pray for Kendrick Adderley. Carolyn Morris, precious lady in our church, her uncle Wensworth is a dialysis patient. He has been diagnosed with coronavirus. Jerry and Sandy are here tonight. Their son-in-law, Scott, he has been diagnosed as well with COVID. So it's starting to, as you see and understand, Lisette Benatoa has asked us to pray for a man named Steve. Steve is in his late 40s. He's in bad shape with COVID. He needs a plasma situation here. I guess A+ if a donation is made. Yeah, Lisette is asking anybody if they just to pray about that on her behalf. So these are folks that are suffering in their illnesses. If you're watching online tonight, and you might notice that we do not have the deaf ministry going tonight. Our dear sister Marty Mineo, she is the lady that does the sign language. And what folks don't know is she battles rheumatoid arthritis very badly. And she had a flare-up, and she was asking God to let her hands open so she could come and do it tonight. But her hands just wouldn't open. And so Marty has just got a heart for God and a heart for people and a heart for ministry and a heart for souls. Pray for Marty tonight that God would touch her. Last week, we prayed for Peggy Segura. Peggy's going to have a baby, and she had failed the one-hour glucose test. I've never had a baby, but my wife's had four of them, so I think we know a little bit about that. And then you move to a three-hour glucose test, and she did pass the three-hour glucose test. And so Danny and Peggy are probably watching tonight online, and I know they're shouting amen and glory to God for what he has done in their lives. This one kind of hurt me. Our missionary, Rudy Johnson, to Peru. Do you remember Rudy and Lorraine Johnson? We have supported them probably for 50 years. His son, Russell Johnson, is my friend who pastors down in Miami. Rudy got up Monday morning, read his Bible, got on his bike. I think he's 81. He does a normal bike ride around the lake, got halfway around the lake, and rode right into heaven. Right into heaven. Just no warning, no anything. Not sure how they found him, not sure how they contacted Brother Russell. But our missionary, now his wife Lorraine is still here, and she's, of course, grieving the loss of her husband. But they're celebrating more than they're grieving that he's with the Lord. And I'll tell you, if I'm going to go be with the Lord, I want it to be quick. Just walk me in, ride me in, drive me in, sleep me in. I really would like to go in my sleep, to be honest with you. And however it happens, I sure am glad that I know when I die I'll be with the Lord. If you know that, say amen. What a joy. So I don't know anything about a funeral service. I was told they're not going to be able to do one with COVID for a little while, because down in Miami they're really suffering with that and the restrictions. So when they do have the service, though, I sure want a good delegation from our church to go and to be with Brother Russell and to be with Lorraine and all of those. So these are the prayer requests that have come in. I know others are emailed in, and Miss Candy Hinkle gets a lot of those and deals with those in our ministries, and they get filtered down in through. But people need to pray, and people are counting on us to pray. And so I would ask you to join me at this time, if you would, in prayer, and then we'll sing our song. Heavenly Father God, the lesson tonight is, it's really a lesson about prayer. The title of the lesson is, When Life Looks Like, How My Prayers Sound. When life looks like, how my prayers sound. As a believer in the Lord Jesus and a child of the living God, what a joy it is to know that our God hears and answers prayer. The hope that provides the child of God, the strength, the peace, the patience, the courage, the boldness, the favor, all of these things. I don't know where the Church of Christ would be if we couldn't pray. And the more that we go through things in this life, the more important our prayer time is. And so tonight, God, as we make our way to the book of Esther in that fifth chapter, and she'd been praying for 3 days, praying and fasting. And the evidence and the effectiveness and the blessing of that is just so rich and so precious in our lives. Do a work in our lives tonight that would create a stronger thirst and desire for prayer than what we even have now. The Bible tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. What permission we have. We know in the scripture that we come to the throne of grace and have access because of the Lord Jesus and in his name, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, on the authority of the Word of God. We're told to come where we will find help and blessing in time of need. And so the psalmist said, as you enter into the throne of grace, enter it, the courts and the gates with thanksgiving and praise. So corporately tonight, we praise you, God, for being the true and living God. There is none other but thee, none beside thee. You are the God of creation. You are the God of salvation. You are the true and living God. And we reckon you to be holy and righteous and eternal and infinite and all that you are. And we just praise you for who you are. Praise you for your love, God. Lord, we lift these petitions to you tonight. These folks that we have mentioned, many of them dealing with a virus, many of them dealing with physical health needs, some with mental health needs. Lord, some dealing with actually the grieving of loss of death as our missionary family. Praise God that we know where Brother Rudy is. And, he's not disappointed to die. He actually couldn't wait to see you. And he loved riding his bike. What a thought. You just rode him right into heaven. And I pray for his wife, Lorraine, tonight. I pray for his son, Russell, and for the family. Strengthen them, encourage them. God, lift them. How we need that. There's praises here that show the strong arm of God and that you hear and answer prayer. And I will just rejoice with you along those lines. Lord, you've been so good to our church and so faithful to our church. And we thank you for that. And I'd ask you, Holy Spirit of God, help me preach and teach tonight. And just warm us, secure us, draw us near to you as we come to the fifth chapter of the book of Esther. Thank you for this time. And thank you, God, for your great love. Thank you for loving us first. Oh, we love you, but we would never love you had you not loved us first. Protect the ministry tonight. Protect the children. God, protect the youth. Protect the babies in the nursery. Protect us from any unhealthiness. And Lord, let's just continue to keep our focus on you. And we'll trust you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to sing 638. I know it's four verses. They're short verses. But I think it will do a wonderful job in just preparing us for the message. I'll tell you what, I'll just leave you seated to sing. You don't even have to stand. I'll just let Brother Rod come, and he'll lead us. And just kind of find yourself reading the words, find yourself following the thoughts and the truths. And when you get to the chorus, just kind of confess your need of how much we need the Lord moment by moment. I need thee every hour. Lift your voice now.
I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art high. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
All right, wonderful. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find the fifth chapter of the book of Esther tonight. Esther chapter 5 will be our text. And I sure want to thank Brother Randy, Brother Simeon, and Brother Turner for speaking on Wednesday nights while I was on vacation. And they did just a powerful, wonderful job. And I got many texts and emails about that and just the blessing it is to have men of God to be able to fill the pulpit and to preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God. And that just encourages me greatly. And so thank you, gentlemen. And I appreciate so much. Appreciate what Brother Joey said as we're excited to get back to the book of Esther. We did begin this series many, many weeks ago in this wonderful book. And we entitled our series, as you see on the screen, Hidden in Plain Sight. And I don't necessarily know how familiar you are with the book of Esther. If you've ever read the book of Esther, it's just a wonderful, wonderful event in the life of the nation of Israel, in the life of a young maiden herself, a young virgin herself, Esther, and just a wonderful work of rescue and deliverance that God fulfilled in the life of the nation. It really and truthfully carries with it a theme of the providence of God. And there's so many definitions as to the providence of God. God working all things according to His will. Speaking of the concentration of God, His just great power there. And it really is a book that just proves that there is one God seated on the throne who's all-powerful, He's all-present, and He's all-knowing, and He does not change. The book is unique in two ways. One, it's only one book of the Bible that carries with it the name of a lady, Ruth being the other one. The second way is, even though it is a book about God and it's in God's book, you will not find God's name in the book. For this reason, sometimes the book of Esther is debated whether or not it should be in the canon of Scripture. But I do think that it's been proven by the power of God and throughout the centuries of the church that this book does deserve to be in the canon of Scripture, and we do believe it to be a book that is inspired by God and therefore the very Word of God. And even though God's name is not mentioned in the book, His hands are everywhere on the book. And what a blessing it is for us to read and to see that this through this event in the book of Esther, and then apply that thought to our lives. Many times in our lives, God can look absent. Many times through pain, through difficulty, through circumstance, through loss, through darkness, through lack of understanding, through times when we do not know which way to choose. We can look at our lives and sometimes it just looks like God is absent in our life. If God were present, I shouldn't hurt this bad. If God were present, I shouldn't lose this bad. If God were present, this evil should not happen to me. These are questions that all of us kind of have to entertain and deal with sometimes in our lives. And many times God may look absent in my life, but I promise you, not from pastor's opinion and not from pastor's experience or not from just some church statement, I promise you from the Word of God that God is never absent. He is always there and He will never leave us nor forsake us. And Esther teaches us as we read the book that we should live our lives in light of this truth. Those that do, those that live their life believing and knowing and reckoning that God is present, reckoning His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us, those that have the ability not to let circumstance dictate what we think about God, but let God dictate what we think about circumstance. That's a good statement. You should write that down. I'm writing it down in my brain right now so I remember it later. I don't even have that written on my paper. God gave that to me. Right? Those that do will look back one day and say, He was hidden in plain sight. And you look back and you just kind of see those moments of your life where as you trusted the Lord, and even though you may not have seen Him, but you trusted Him through His Word, you trusted Him through His promises, you trusted the leadership of the Spirit of God, when you come through on the other side, you look back and you kind of see how God navigated every choice, how God navigated every moment, how He was there, how if certain things would have happened in a different way, it would have been disastrous for you, but God allowed it to happen in this certain and particular way. And so this is the heart of God for this book. This was the purpose of the author. The author of the book wanted to just put out there that even though the nation of Israel was perplexed and facing a death sentence and the circumstances were dire, that God was there and He was there all the time. And so he starts right where he believes that God was working, back in chapter number 1, and that was in the time of Ahasuerus, as you know, as we've read all of that. You know that he is the king there in Persia, in Shushan. You know that he has a queen, Vashti, and you know that she is going to be replaced and must be replaced with Queen Esther. And God begins to work, and he shows how God can even use the drunkenness of a man and the rage of a man and the decisions of men and the opinions of men, and God can work and navigate all through that. And you see how in chapters 2 and 3, Esther comes to rise in God's plan, and God is positioning Esther where God can use her, and He's working all the times, even though the moment is evil and wicked, and Esther had to undergo some difficult things, and yet God allowed those to happen. Sometimes, in order for God to accomplish His will in you and through you, He will walk you through difficult times. Nowhere in this Bible will it promise you painlessness. Until one day we get to heaven and there will be no more pain. I know that, and it's going to sound hard, but God's not afraid to hurt His child. He's not afraid to put us in deep waters because He's able to sustain us from drowning. You can read in the book of Daniel, and God's not necessarily afraid to put His kids in the fire. Them three Hebrew boys got thrown in that fire, man. And they got thrown in that fire because they did right. They got thrown in that fire because they stood for God. They got thrown in that fire because they didn't yield. And you would think that somehow in the last moment, God would have just kind of rescued them from that. They chucked every one of them in there. And then later when they went back to check on them, I wish I could see. I want God to show me that moment when I get to heaven. Because I want to see that guy's face when he opened up that thing and he said, "Hey fellas, didn't we throw three of boys in there?" "Yeah. There's four. Four. We threw three in." No, there's four. "And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." He was right there in the fire with them. So Esther goes through some difficult times. And yet God is working. And I think there's some points in Esther's life where she would say, "Man, God sure seemed absent." And at the end she would look back and say, No. He was there all the time. I see Him now. One of the difficult things sometimes is to watch people quit on God or to watch people bail before God has finished His work, and they never get the chance to look back and say, "Oh, I see why He allowed that. He did that and that and that. And now it all makes sense." They quit before God has an opportunity to finish His work. And then all they can see is their circumstance and the negative part about what God has done. And I'll tell you, there's a great blessing to staying faithful, and there's a great blessing to not quitting. And so when we left off 3-4 weeks ago, we left off in chapter number 4, right? We finished chapter number 4. And I had preached you a message entitled in chapter number 4, "When God Asks You to Step Up." Okay? I just want to make sure that we understand that the pastor is not the only person in this church that God wants to use. The pastor is not the only person in this church that God has a plan for. The pastor is not the only person in the church that God watches or looks after. God is as providential in my life as he is in Lee's life. God never is more concentrated on me than he is on her. And God's never more concentrated on her than he is on Brother Rod. And God's never more concentrated on Brother Rod than he is on Brother Danny in the balcony. You see, God is the same to all people, right? So does God have a plan for my life? Absolutely. I look back from right now back until when I was a teenager, when God called me, and I can see how God was hidden in plain sight in my life, and I can see how God spared me from certain things. I can see how God sent me through certain things, and I see how he directed all that. But I look at Brother Joey's life, and I can see how God has done all that. I look at Brother Francisco's life. I can see how God has done all that. And so what I'm trying to say is that I have the responsibility to know that God has purpose and plan for my life, and I've got to submit to that. But God has purpose and plan for your life. And if you're a child of the living God, nobody's exempt from that. So has there been times God has asked me to step up? Yeah. Yeah. Have I always been 100% faithful and obedient to do that? No. But I promise you there will be times that God isn't going to ask you to step up. That means to step out of that comfort zone, to step into a danger zone, to step into a position of faith. There are times when God's plan is for you to carry the ball from A to B. Nobody else, you. Pastor, I don't carry the ball, I serve the water. Sometimes he's going to ask you to sit the water down and carry the ball. He'll ask you to step up. So this is what God was doing in the life of Esther. He had a great plan. And when Esther is told by Mordecai about this heinous plan to kill all the Jews, and Mordecai and Esther kind of revolts a little bit from that. It's just so overwhelming, and her initial process is a little bit self-persevering. And listen, I don't know what I can do. And Mordecai just looks her right in the face and says, "This is why God allowed you to be queen." By the way, God always has a spiritual purpose in your promotion. He never promotes you just because you're a good employee. No. God always has a spiritual purpose in promotion. And many times that's an evangelistic purpose. So the way that Mordecai confronts Esther and says, "Listen, this is why you are the queen. You're not the queen so you can benefit personally, or you're not the queen for this. You're the queen because God wants to work in and through you, and God wants you to step up and you to act by faith and you to do these things." And so receiving that, Esther's last words in chapter 4, verse number 15, if you would please. The Bible says, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And so this is where we left off, where they're in this 3-day prayer period. Okay, pick up if you would please in chapter 5, verse number 1. Stick with me, we're only going to do 8 verses. "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy request?' it shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. What is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. I think we'll stop right there. When life looks like how my prayers sound. When life looks like how my prayers sound. If you've ever had God answer one of your prayers, could you acknowledge that by saying amen? And until you experience the blessing of answered prayer, until you experience that moment when you've poured out your heart before God, begging, pleading, fervently, you've worked that prayer through every facet that you have. You've worked it through the Spirit of God. You've worked it through your heart. You've worked it through your mind. It's come out your mouth. And then you come to that point in your life where all of a sudden God works and your life begins to look how your prayers sound. And you realize, God just answered my prayer. I'll tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than when that moment happens, when God unveils and reveals his answer to our prayers. On the third day, can you imagine? For 3 days, the people have been praying, and for 3 days, Esther has been praying. Now you know a death warrant has been signed. You know money is getting ready to change hands. You know that apart from a miracle, the Jews are going to be slaughtered. The Bible even says the whole city was perplexed about it. Can you just imagine how the Jewish people were praying? I think it would go something like this. God, we need you. God, we're in trouble. God, we're going to die. God, you got to help. Be merciful, God. God, you got to change the king's heart. God, you got to help Esther. God, you got to give wisdom to Esther. God, you got to reveal Haman. You got to expose this wickedness. God, we're going to die if you don't intervene. You can just imagine the prayer. I tell you, it's one thing to pray. There's another thing when you're desperate. Fervent prayer. I was thinking about Esther. You imagine Esther and what those 3 days of prayer would have been like. I'm the one that's got to go in. I'm the one that if he doesn't hold out that scepter, I'm a dead woman. You can just imagine what her prayer must have sounded like. I think it was very personal. God, you got to protect me. God, you got to go before me. God, you got to give me favor. God, you got to give me the words. God, you got to give me the courage. God, you got to give me boldness. God, just give me a chance to make a request for your people. Imagine that. I want to ask you a question before I move forward. How long could you sustain fervent prayer? How long have you ever had to sustain fervent prayer. Some are praying for loved ones to be saved. You've sustained it for years. Some you've been through difficult times and you've been able to pray fervently, but when you get through those difficult times, maybe that fervency goes away. Just a question from your pastor. Could you sustain fervent prayer for 3 days? I would submit to you that prayer demands a build up in stamina. You'll never pray 3 days until you first pray for 3 minutes. You know, when we read, thinking about on the third day, right? So between chapter 4 and chapter 5, you can just imagine the fervent cry of the people. And you just imagine the personal anguish of Esther. And then as you read the text and you see how she moves in there, you honestly can kind of see that her life begins to look how her prayers sounded. And it's beautiful. Verse number 1. Listen, let me give you some thoughts. Maybe you want to write some of these down. She put on her royal robe, right? In verse number 1 there, chapter number 5. You know, you just kind of sense their courage. You kind of sense their a boldness. You know, it is a beautiful blessing when God answers prayer. We know prayer is effective as far as getting the will of God done upon the earth. But there's just a courage and a boldness that fervent prayer brings to our lives. The book of Acts would teach us this. Other Bible heroes would teach us this. You know, I believe that the reason that the church is cowardly is because the church doesn't pray. I have to muster up courage, Pastor, before I say anything. No, you need to pray. The way a believer musters up courage is by prayer. Prayer is what brings about courage and boldness. So you think about churches today. Not sure how much we pray. You think about the lack of courage and boldness to stand upon God's word, to stand upon truths, even in our own lives personally sometimes. And so blatant is that when we don't pray. When we pray, there's just a spiritual courage and a spiritual boldness that rests upon us. I hope and pray that you know that courage and that boldness through prayer. Pastor, I'm facing something tonight in my life spiritually, and I'm terrified of it. I'm scared of it. I got to confront somebody. I got to speak to somebody. I've got to take a stand. I've got to do these things. And I just can't seem to find the courage. You're not praying. You're not praying fervently. You're not praying effectively. You're not praying the word of God. Pastor, I am praying and I'm asking God to give me these things. I'm honestly doing that. Drop down to verse number 4 then, please. And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have what? Prepared." So put in order what Esther did when it comes to meeting the king, cooking a banquet, and praying. Get in your mind. Put them in order. What'd she do first? Prayed. What'd she do second? She prepared a banquet. What'd she do third? Went to see the king, right? Remember, it was, if he doesn't extend the scepter, what happens to Esther? She's dead. So why make the banquet? Because she believed through those 3 days of prayer that God was going to meet her need. And she had faith to her prayer. Prayer brings about courage and it brings about boldness when it's prayer that's prayed in faith. You'd be shocked how the human mind can pray and disbelieve at the same time. That'll never get you anywhere in your spiritual life. You have not because you ask not and you ask amiss. If we're going to pray, we pray in faith, believing, the Bible says. And your life is never going to look like how your prayers sound if your prayers are not prayed in faith, believing. Now, how does a prayer develop in faith, believing? I just try harder, Pastor? Nope. Help me with this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I'm going to pray in faith, believing, then my prayer needs to come from the Word of God, be based on the Word of God, and be the Word of God. Ask you this question. Did God make promises to Israel? Was God going to protect Israel? Would God ever break His promise? I promise you, these prayers that the nation is praying go back all the way to Moses and what God had promised. I promise you that Esther is lifting up before God what His Word has said. Prayer will build a courage and a boldness, but it has to be prayer that's done in faith. And prayer that is in faith is not you just trying to believe or try harder. It's got to be prayers that come from the Word of God. And the Word of God has something to say about everything we go through. I love verse number 2. It was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. You know, one of the things that's so beautiful about prayer, and when my life begins to look like my prayers sound, is there's a beauty that comes on a person when they are a person of prayer. Prayer brings not only a spiritual power, prayer brings not only a courage and a boldness, but prayer also brings a beauty to our lives. A beauty that can be responded to by favor. The king, this wicked king, sees favor in Esther. Of course he does. She spent 3 days in fervent prayer and in fasting. I will say that to the prayer warrior, there rests a certain type of beauty. The child of God who has a consistent ministry of prayer bears a beauty mark that only prayer can bring. And that beauty mark is something that others will see. They will comment to. They will find favorable. They will be drawn to. It will be to the testimony and the glory of God. I just ask you a question. Do you bear in your person a beauty mark of prayer? Some of the most godly people I know and most godly people I trust, really and truthfully, I trust them because they're people of prayer. The most beautiful spiritual people that I know are people of prayer. There's a certain beauty that rests on the person of prayer. And it also brings a certain beauty about God. Situations are made beautiful through prayer. Relationships are made beautiful through prayer. Not human manipulation, but through prayer. I love verses 4-8 as it unveils the story, and I'm hurrying. And you understand that there's two other things I think that prayer brings. It brings courage and boldness as it's prayed in faith. It brings a beauty to the person that prays. But there's also peace and patience. You know, when my life begins to look like how my prayers sound, my prayers usually, when they're prayed on the Word of God and they're prayed based off on the person of God, a peace develops into that prayer, peace to my soul. I'm more spiritually at peace when I pray than when I don't pray. And there's a patience that develops in my life. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6-8 talk about the peace of God that guards our heart and guards our mind. That peace of God that guards our heart and our mind comes through prayer. Notice, Esther didn't just rush in and tell the king about the problem. Notice, if you remember in chapter 4, you've got a panicked Esther. Now you have a very peaceful Esther. You have a very patient Esther. and you have one that is moving not according to her human fear, but moving according to faith that she has in her God. And there's just this peace. It's a twofold step in this banquet. There is a patience there, letting God work, waiting on God. Matter of fact, when you read the text, when we come to chapter number six is so important, and it really needed to happen in looking back before Haman could be exposed, and that's the exaltation of Mordecai. Let me just say this about prayer. The reason that we pray is evident that we trust God in His timing. People who don't pray trust their own timing, not God's timing. People who don't pray rush. They're manipulative. They're hasty. They're nervous. They're quick. They're impulsive. And they don't have a settled patience on them. When my life looks like how my prayers sound, it's that prayer that's in faith that brings peace from the Word of God, that brings a peace and a patience to me. So let me put it this way. The child of God who prays but does not know peace and patience is probably the child of God who's not praying properly. You cannot say that you're fervently in prayer and be filled with anxiety. You cannot say that you're fervent in prayer and trying to manipulate your life. You cannot say that you're fervent in prayer and try to speed up. When I'm fervent in prayer and I'm trusting the Word of God and God to work, then it just builds a peace and a patience. You know, I have found that God is never in a hurry, but when he moves awful fast. He's never in a hurry, but when he moves awful fast. So you have this panicked Esther in chapter 4. She spent 3 days praying and fasting, and now she's peaceful, and she's patient, and she's letting God do the work. And by the way, it's only God's work that we can trust. When my life looks like how my prayers sound, when I'm praying in faith, believing, courage and boldness, I find that as I pray the Word of God, it builds that in my life. I find that it builds peace and it builds patience in my life. So my life begins to look peaceful and patient as my prayers develop in the Word and the Holy Spirit of God. Lastly, verse number 8. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my requests, let the king come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do, what's that word, class? Tomorrow, as the king has said. You know, I have found that when I pray in faith, and I pray properly, and I pray fervently, and I pray trusting the Lord, and prayer is the dominant ministry of my life, I find a wisdom for today and a trust for tomorrow. Write that down. I find a wisdom for today and a trust for tomorrow. The wisdom Esther knew was she knew the king was touchable at feast. She knew the king was touchable through that direction. She had a wisdom for today. She made her feast. She made her invitation. She did all of that. But she also was trusting God for tomorrow. My life looks like how my prayers sound as I pray properly when that wisdom for today shows up, but that trust for tomorrow. And so as I pray, I find God give me leadership and direction for the moment. But as I pray, I find protection and hope for tomorrow. Listen, if all I have to secure me for tomorrow is what the media says, I'm in trouble. If all we have to secure us is a vaccination for COVID-19, we're in trouble. If all you have to secure here is because you think you're going to get paid this week, you're in trouble. Fervent biblical prayer, powerful prayer in my life, builds in my life wisdom for today and trust for tomorrow. And so my life begins to look like how my prayers sound. God, give me wisdom for today. God, you got to protect me tomorrow. God, I know that you hold tomorrow. I know that you keep tomorrow. I know that I can trust you for tomorrow. I know that you're already there in your being. Lord, now I need to know, what do you want me to do and navigate me here? So beautiful when my life is filled with courage and boldness, peace and patience, wisdom for today, and trust for tomorrow. So I just want to ask you a question. Is your life looking like how your prayers are sounding? So you got to deal with two things. Number one, do you pray? And number two, are you praying in faith, believing? Let me just show you something in verse number one. I'll leave it with you. It's 8:01. It came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his, what are those two words, class? Royal throne. I have this as a concluding statement. Yes, King Ahasuerus was sitting on his royal throne. But don't forget, God is sitting on his throne as well. And if I'm praying to God in faith, believing that he is who he says he is and he has the ability to work his will on the earth through my prayers, then my life should reflect and look like the hope I have in his authority as he's on his throne. I think sometimes we kind of pray like God is second in charge. We kind of pray and yet we feel like we got to kind of do something else as well or help him as well. God doesn't need your help. He's sufficient in himself. Right? I want my life to look like how my prayers sound. So those of you that are watching online and those of you that are sitting in the room, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days. Concentrate on your prayer life for 3 days. Listen to yourself pray. Don't just, dear God, thank you for this food. Be with my wife. Fix all her problems, God, in Jesus' name. Listen to yourself pray. What are you saying? Where is your foundation? And then just kind of analyze yourself. Is my life looking like how my prayers sound? I promise you, Esther probably prayed for boldness. She prayed for all of those things that, what did I link with boldness? I forgot it, for courage and boldness. I promise you she prayed for peace and for patience. And I promise you she prayed for wisdom and she prayed for trust. And I think as you would read through that, you'll see her life began to look like how her prayers sounded. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, a beautiful little lesson to think our way through those 3 days. And then to watch how it unfolded in Esther's life. And her life did look like how her prayer sounded. And I want our lives to look like that. Courage and boldness, peace and patience, wisdom and trust. And that doesn't happen by us just trying harder. It's just us praying in faith, believing, praying the word of God. There's a beauty that comes to the person of prayer. A wonderful beauty there. I try to put myself in that position. If I thought I was going to die in 3 days, I was going to be murdered or something like that. Would I run? Would I move? Would I fight? Would I hide? Or would I pray? I want the child of God, if ever there's a time for God's people to pray, we need to be people of prayer now. This is pathetic that we're just praying seconds or minutes a day. How long could we sustain fervent prayer? This is a good little challenge for Wednesday night, because we come on Wednesday night with problems. We come on Wednesday night with decisions. We come on Wednesday night with unknown future. May we take those things to the throne of grace. And may we pray in faith, believing, knowing that Jesus said that our prayer is, "Thy will in heaven be done on earth. Our will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I pray, God, that you'd work your will according to our lives. We love you. Thank you for loving us so richly now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, our little song to go home is a song that I love because it shows where my trust is, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's stand. Let's lift our voice. We'll see you back on this Lord's Day on Sunday. God bless you.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. God bless you all. You are dismissed.